Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the CS hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior.
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. How is everybody doing out there? So appreciative that you've decided to check out this little show. We're going to do a year-end wrap-up, try and, memorialize all the nonsense and insanity that we've experienced over the past 12 months. We made it. We're alive. I mean, we got through it. Well, I don't know. There might have been a price to pay psychologically, but I guess technically we got through it. I'll take this as an opportunity to be appreciative for what we've gone through, to get ourselves ready for 2022 and the fuckery that we know is definitely headed our way, and do a little looking back and into what made our last 12 months memorable. A lot of it you forget. So I got a list. Not meant to be an exhaustive list. It's not a list of everything. If you're interested in telling me the things that I missed, believe me, there's plenty of things that I missed, but we'll get to a lot of it. And let me use this as an opportunity right now, since we're wrapping up the year, to thank you guys all for listening, for sharing this show with your friends and family, or maybe torturing people at work by playing it loud and making them listen to it. I appreciate it. I really do. When I started this, it was my deep belief that I was talking to myself, that nobody would ever hear this. And it has grown into something that is out of my control at this point, which is kind of scary, but I definitely enjoy it. It's kind of grown beyond how I had originally envisioned it. It took on a life of its own. I appreciate that. I'm cool with it. Thank you all for being a part of this. You know, my sponsors have played a big role in this. I try to pick the sponsors that make the most sense for us, this audience, this group. I like it when they're small businesses. I like it when they're providing a service that helps us be healthy, physically healthy, mentally healthy. I like it when they are involved in helping us transition from this current paradigm into what we're going to need moving forward. So I'll start by saying thank you to the ones that have been here from the beginning. My Patriot Supply has been tremendous for us. They built a landing page. You can go to preparewithmacroaggressions.com and see what they've got. 4-week supply, 3-month supply of food. Definitely start thinking about that stuff. I've talked enough about it. You know the web address. I'm going to put all the links in the description too. So if you miss any of these, you can go check it out. So thank you to them. Chemical Free Body has been here as well. Tim James, my man, we text all the time about what's happening in the world. It's so nice to have people on your side that see what's happening. They have built businesses to work with us, you know, for those of us that want to improve our physical health, that recognize that we have a problem with nutrition in this country, well, in this world, frankly, and want to do something about it. Thank you to Tim and the team over at Chemical Free Body. You can go to chemicalfreebody.com/macro and check out everything. Promo code macro on your way out. C60 Purple Power is great, man. I just had lunch with Ken Schwartz, he's the CEO, he's the founder, and he is the chief scientist. We went and talked about nuclear physics at lunch. There was a lot of listening on my part, let's put it that way. I wasn't contributing a ton to the nuclear physics conversation, but thank you to Ken Schwartz and the team over there at C60 Purple Power. Again, promo code MACRO if you're interested. Newer sponsors, True Hemp Science. Man, thank you guys for fixing my shoulder. You said you'd do it. There was part of me that thought, I don't know if this is really going to actually work, but you said you'd do it, and you did. So I can't get any better than that. That's the one thing I said. If this stuff works, I'll know. I need my shoulder to be fixed. If my shoulder feels better, then it's definitely working, and we'll see what happens. It works. Thank you to the guys over there. They're building great hemp-based CBD. You can go to truehempscience.com/macroaggressions and do some shopping over there. The products they gave me that I liked, number 19 and number 41. They've got other stuff too. If you're having trouble sleeping, if you want like lotions to put on, they've got all that. There's a ton happening there. But if you're just interested in getting a couple CBD products for yourself or maybe your family, I can tell you that the stuff that I've been taking from them has worked. It's worked in a way that nothing else has. And I've tried a lot of CBDs out there, but hey, it works. Again, True Hemp Science. Thanks guys for coming on board. They're relatively new. And the newest one is Healin 951. That's pronounced Healin. It's spelled Halen, H-A-E-L-A-N 951.com/macro. Again, they built us a promo page. This is the newest sponsor. This is fermented soy drink. Sounds a little weird. Tastes a little weird. Really great benefits. I mentioned this to Ken Schwartz when I was having lunch with him about this new sponsor that came in and what they did. He goes, that stuff doesn't taste very good, does it? I said, not the greatest thing I've ever had. He goes, but it works really well. It's super good for you. I said, yeah. Based on everything I've read, and I've been taking it for a little while since they sent it to me, I've been taking it. So I've had good results with it. He goes, oh yeah, it's supposed to be good. So anyway, it's part of how they do it, what they do, as opposed to other places. It's quality crop. You've got to have fermentation. You've got to have organic growing if you want these soybeans to turn out the right way and not the wrong way, like we get in America, where everyone turns into a soy boy because they're growing them in the United States with poor soil, weird growing standards. We've got pesticides. We've got GMO. Not these maniacs over at Healin 951. No, that's not good enough for them to just grow soybeans in their backyard. They have to go collect these soybeans from Mongolia because I guess that's the best place to grow them. So look, if you are interested in checking this out, you probably should read up about it first. That's what I did. I had no idea that stuff like this was even out there, let alone how good it is for you. So do that. So go to the website and read. HALAN951.com/macro. HALAN951.com/macro. Thank you guys, you know, to all of my sponsors. It's been, I'm so appreciative of you guys, and I can't do the show without you. As much as I would love to get us to a place where, you know, where the algorithms were favorable, where you could put your shows up and everyone, you know, could see them and they wouldn't get algorithm to death, all that stuff. I appreciate it. And of course, last but not least, to Tony Ortiburn, my man over there at Wise Wolf Gold and Silver. They built a landing page for us that's real easy to remember, www.macroaggressions.gold. If you go to that website, there'll be a contact page there that you can fill out your information and reach out to Tony directly. He can help you with your gold, silver, IRAs, 401ks. If you're looking at trying to get some of your fiat currency out of this system and into tangible physical metals, then he's the guy to talk to. And considering where we're going and what sort of strategies you might want to employ moving forward, might not be the worst idea to take a look at what Tony's doing over at Wise Wolf and see if you want to convert some of your money into that. Hey, look, what's the worst thing that happens with all of this stuff? You wind up with gold coins and silver coins and silver bars and storable food and products that help improve your health. Oh, no. Oh, no. We should be so lucky just to get stuck with all that junk, right? So thanks to the sponsors. Thanks to the listeners. Let's get into it, shall we? Let's get into this 2021 wrap-up because, good Lord, I mean, 2020 sucked. Obviously. And there were a lot of changes there, but I think we kind of mistakenly felt like, oh, we'll just sort of slide into 2021 and it'll be less crazy. Well, that was not the case. So I guess we could probably start at the beginning of the year. And I mean, if we're going to talk about a year filled with horseshit, which is 2021, then why don't we start off with the January 6th situation, shall we? A walk through memory lane when the greatest event since 9/11, worse than 9/11, don't you know, happened on January 6th when a bunch of conservatives decided to go to the Capitol to hear people speak. And then they went and took a tour of the Capitol building, including following and walking in between the barriers and proper stanchions and going through in a orderly fashion while being flanked by teams of photographers and security guards that were willing to lead them into this thing. And then the media came out and said that it was worse than 9/11. So that is, you know, really, if you think about it, kind of the perfect way to start off 2021. You knew the fuckery was going to be gigantic and of a level you'd never really experienced before. Well, then, you know, according to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she was almost murdered. Yeah, I mean, even though she wasn't in the building where all the people were, and even though, you know, nobody ever threatened her, or she never actually saw any, but she was almost murdered. And silence is violence, don't you know? There are a few things in life where you start having a conversation with a stranger and you know where you stand right off the bat with them. If I hear somebody breathlessly pearl clutching when talking about January 6th, I know automatically that they're not a serious person. No real person that actually is paying attention or cares or knows what's going on looks at January 6th as anything other than a circus, a spectacle, not a terrorist attack, not a an insurrection. They were sitting in Nancy Pelosi's chair. It was violence. They were taking pictures. And look, I'm don't walk into traps. That's kind of my point on this. This was such an obvious, like, trap. And yet people lined up for this and they went along with it and they did. Now, I can say it's a trap, but without also, you know, giving it too much oxygen, it's not even a big deal. It wasn't a big deal. Nobody, democracy didn't die on January 6th or any of that stuff. But leave it to the media to do their thing. They'll have you think that, according to them, January 6th is worse than September 11th, where 3,000 people died. So that should just tell you exactly how much the left values human life, because which is to say, not at all, because they equate one person getting shot, some girl that was there, or lady, I don't know, that was there for the protesting, she got shot by a cop and died. And then a bunch of cops like had heart attacks for whatever reason, probably had the vaccine, I don't know, just kidding. That came later. They didn't have time to have the heart attacks for that. But then, you know, like a bunch of people died and they're later and they were like, oh, it was all related to this. Well, okay, fine. Even if it was, that's a bigger deal than 9/11. Stop. It's embarrassing. So we had that. And that's kind of the best way to kick off the fakeness of 2021 was with a fake story like January 6th. We had AMC and GameStop stocks going through the roof due to Wall Street bets on Reddit and the, as they called it, weaponized autism, which is a really funny term, but they weren't actually talking about autistic people. They're just talking about sort of like a terminology for people that are probably too stupid to be investing, and yet here all these people are investing and they're kicking Wall Street's ass. So they like that. I like that. I like the concept of it. I whenever those things get, you know, out into the public eye, it's usually a bit too late to jump in, and unless you want to get stuck holding the bag and lose all your money. But the idea that a team of people sort of, let's just call it like a decentralized team of people can get together and start buying a stock and have really huge ramifications for Wall Street firms that were shorting the stock, I think is great. To watch what happened with them was phenomenal. This is not meant to be any sort of timeline. I'm not trying to start with January and work our way down. But since we are in January, we have to talk about the Biden regime being installed as the new administration, and that was a weird one. 80 million people voted for this guy. Are you sure they did? Because I don't think they did. Now I get it. Trump wasn't popular with a segment of the population. They really did not like him. They would have voted for Adolf Hitler Jr. over Donald Trump. Well, they thought Donald Trump was Adolf Hitler Jr., but they would have voted for anyone else other than him. But do I think that 80 million people voted for Joe fucking Biden? I do not. I'll never, ever believe that, because it isn't true. So that's why I call them the Biden regime. I'm going to refer to them the way they refer to other political groups around the world that they don't like when they decide to call them a regime. I mean, I don't know why we don't call it the Saudi regime. They're literally kings, which is the where the Regis comes from. But if we like them in America, then they're our allies and they're a democratically elected government. And if we don't like them, then they're a regime. So let's just call the Biden group what they are. A regime of dysfunctional weirdos with real questionable foreign policy chops. There's a very real problem with authenticity in the Biden administration. And I think that's putting it nicely. You've got Joe Biden, who, look, I'm not trying to shit on him because he's elderly. But when you sign up for that job, then you take the criticism that comes with it. And he's going to get criticized for being old. He's old and unlikable. And now he's yelling at people. He's screaming. He's telling people that if they don't get vaccinated, they're going to die, and that they should. Their forecast will be death and destruction. I mean, he's telling the American public that he's run out of patience with us. He's basically yelling at half of the nation. And I don't respond well to people that yell at me. I do. There's a couple outcomes for that. If someone's yelling at me, I either tune them out, I do the exact opposite, or I punch him in the face. And it's probably not going to happen with Biden, but I think a lot of the public has tuned him out. I think that they just look at him and they go, you're just a crazy old man in your front yard yelling at, you know, keep off my grass. But unfortunately, he comes with a certain amount of power baked into that job description that he has. I'm not trying to say that the president of the United States has all the power, most definitely not. But even a guy like Biden has a little bit of power. So they were put into office with Kamala Harris, who is, honestly, I know vice presidents take a bit of a beating. They're always kind of goofed on as being like, you know, Dan Quayle or Mike Pence, who would sit there and not blink for like 45 minutes straight. There's always something wrong with the vice president. Dick Cheney, obviously a psychopath of the highest order, who just keeps ripping hearts out of still beating hearts out of live people and sticking them in his own demented body to, as he goes through heart after heart, like he's David fucking Rockefeller. There's always something wrong with the vice president, but Kamala Harris has got this weirdness. Like I say, a lack of authenticity. There's something about her that nobody connects with. Very few people, I should say nobody, very few people connect with her. So we've got that. 2021 is the year of screaming at flight attendants. And to be fair, a lot of them had it coming. You know, a lot of them had it coming to them. I've never seen flight attendants take on such a insane, I don't know, just act like such maniacs. I had a personal experience with a flight attendant guy who put his hands on me, and I thought I was going to get escorted off the plane. I don't think he expected my response, but I think that the people that are on these airplanes, they're trying to, you know, enforce mandates like wearing masks on of 2-year-old kids. So you have to wear their mask. 2-year-old kids can't wear their pants for a 4-hour flight without wanting to take them off or do something weird. So you think you're going to have them wearing masks and not have issues? The whole thing was built to fail. Sort of a subset of the flight attendants turned into insane lunatics is the funny juxtaposition of the nurses. You know, 2020, nurses are heroes, literally building statues of nurses out in front of these hospitals. 2021, well, they went from heroes to zero pretty fast if they weren't willing to take the boost, the shots and the boosters. So we've established that it's not actually about health. We've established that if it were about health, then you wouldn't, in the middle of a, quote, pandemic, you wouldn't be firing the people that are in charge of health, be those doctors that refuse to comply or nurses that or technicians that refuse to comply with the vaccine mandates. They say, well, yes, we're in the middle of a pandemic and look at all these dead people and it's got to be the number one priority. But since you're not getting vaccinated, fuck you. You can go find a job working at a Kmart or a Circle K somewhere. You know, so when you see that, then it's like, oh, I get it. I see what's going on here. This is not about health. This is because if you were serious about health, you'd be acting in a totally different way. And so you're not. So nurses, congratulations. Those of you that were making TikTok videos in 2020, well, guess what? You started to become suspicious of you when we saw those videos. So we reserve our judgment on this hero status until we see what you do. And if you are out there saying the only way through is to put old people on ventilators and give them remdesivir and that ivermectin is just horse paste and that you can't give that to any, well, then you know what? You're on the wrong side of history and we'll sort you out later. But 2021 is the year where the general public turned on these nurses. Not so much us in the alternative media. We were like welcome to anyone that wanted to come join our side. But what you saw was that the hardcore left, when they saw these nurses that they had been so bravely clapping for, oh my God, we got to get out on our patio and at 8 o'clock and bang pots and pans for the NHS and all that shit, right? Oh, that nurse won't take the shot. Well, then I hope she fucking dies, right? That's exactly where they went. They went from so brave, let's build statues, to, oh, if you're not doing every single thing that we want you to do, well, then I hope you fucking die. And that is, of course, a product of a lot of things. It's agendas, it's media, it's fear, it's stupidity, it's people not understanding what's actually going on. There's a lot of reasons for that. But in 2021, it is undeniable that we saw that. And it wasn't like we didn't tell you that was coming too, because we most certainly did. We were like, oh, you think these nurses are heroes now? Wait till they force them to get vaccines and a bunch of them say, fuck you. And then we'll see if they're heroes. And that's exactly what happened. Winning. So we have the Bidenenko administration, or regime, I should say, using OSHA to try to bully people into taking vaccines, and in companies that had 100 plus employees. That didn't go well. That got hung up in court several times. He came out, and of course, like I said earlier, he came out and yelled at people and told them that he had run out of patients, to which a large segment of the population said, I don't care. We have, you know, multiple courts saying no to the vaccine mandates. They're saying this is unconstitutional. It doesn't even add up. None of it works. And we're blocking this. So that's not going according to plan. And you know, it's not going according to plan, because if it was, then you wouldn't have to bring in Sesame Street. And of course, that's what we saw. We saw Joe Rogan is not allowed to talk on his podcast because how dare he? He's not a doctor. Instead, Sanjay Gupta left Joe Rogan's podcast, went and did an episode of Sesame Street where Big Bird was giving you advice on getting the vaccines. And that's totally cool and not at all contradictory or buffoonish, right? We're supposed to just go, oh yeah. Don't take advice from the podcast guy who is in better health than most people and kicked COVID after a couple days with a different medical regimen than was being told to us by the talking heads on television. So Joe Biden or Joe Rogan, God, my apologies, Rogan. Sorry, I didn't mean to get you guys confused. Joe Rogan, bad. Big Bird, good. Get that through your head. We have Australia becomes the Galactic Empire, I think. It is, man, it's disappointing. It's sad. I've gone on and on and on about my feelings on Australia. Great people. Just, I mean, some of the greatest people. But God, the government's just fucked up. And it doesn't seem to be getting any better. And they've built COVID camps. What's the difference? Out in the Northern Territory, they've been locking people up. They used weird marketing campaigns to show, like, oh, it looks like an Abercrombie and Fitch ad. Just look at these hot chicks sitting around in their cutoff jean shorts with their bathing suit tops. They're just living their best lives. No, they are not. They are prisoners who are not sick, but just haven't taken the vaccine and or tested positive, or maybe even didn't test positive for a virus with a 99.98% survivability rate. So there is no logic. There is no reason. Logic and reason are dead. 2020 put a knife in it. 2021, they finally bled out and died. There is no more common sense. Common sense is illegal. It is outlawed for 2022. So you've got that to look forward to. Australia's got drones and helicopters and SWAT teams and camps, and all that stuff is supposed to be totally normal. That's just normal response to a virus that won't kill you. I mean, unless you're fat, or unless you're on a vent, or unless you're being injected with remdesivir. If you're doing any of those things, then you might have a hard time with the virus. But if you're just a normal person, it's not going to be a big deal. Let's definitely build concentration camps, though. That sounds reasonable. We saw cops, we saw firemen, we saw airplane pilots, and we saw them walk out. rather than get injected with an experimental rush to market gene therapy that killed all the animals it was tested in and hasn't cleared stage three trials. And rightly so. I'm glad these people have walked out. Look, I got my problems with cops, to be sure. But when you're being mandated to take something that you don't want to take, then it starts to force you to analyze your situation. And if your government is the one telling you to do something, it makes you reevaluate your relationship with government. And it should. And frankly, everyone should reevaluate their relationship with their government. We should always be doing that. But this last year put that in perspective in a way that that really nothing else could. I mean, the conspiracy theorists, I use air quotes around that. In 2020, we were screaming about this stuff. This is where it's headed. We hope it doesn't go there, but this looks like what they're doing, that the insanity is getting ramped up. And we think that they're going to roll out vaccines. We think they're going to start the carrot portion first, and then eventually they'll transition into the stick portion. And we think that they're going to try to make these things mandatory, in which we were met with, that's crazy, man. They're never going to make these things mandatory. You conspiracy theorists you're always the thinking about worst case scenarios. Well, maybe we are, but it's only because we have a deep understanding of the history of how governments work that we're jumping to these conclusions, because these are the conclusions that government always tends to find out. They want to force you to do something. So when we came out and said, well, maybe they won't force you right away. They'll tell you how great it is. Then they'll coerce you into it. And then if that doesn't work, then they'll force you. And that, of course, is identical to what has happened. So again, not that we're ever going to get our recognition in the credit that's due, but we have been talking about this in a way that the mainstream media has not. We are having a much better rate of success than the mainstream media is with predicting the future, but I think that we would all wish to be wrong, because unfortunately the direction that we saw things headed is where we are. The direction where we see things going in 2022 is pretty dark. And we hope we're wrong on that front, but I don't think that we are. It's going to be a frustrating year. So, let's see what else happened. They changed the terminology, the definitions for vaccine and vaccination, don't you know? So because that's important to do, right? You got to get in there, change the terminology. So from the years 2015 to 2021, a vaccination was defined as the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce immunity to a specific disease. That was how they used to define it. September of 2021, they changed the terminology of vaccination. It is now the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce, all of this was the same from the last one to this one, same part. The act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce, but this is where it changes, protection from a specific disease. So they changed it from the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce immunity to a specific disease to now say the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce protection from a specific disease. So now the only way you can get protection is if you get vaccinated. And if you get vaccinated, then you are protected. Do you understand that? That's playing with words. But they love to play with words, so it shouldn't come as any surprise to us. This is how they do it. So they changed the definition of herd immunity as well. They like this. They like to go in. This is what social Marxists do. They go in and change the definition of words so that they mean different things, or the removal of words too. That's fun. That's something straight out of Orwell. So that's what we've been when dealing with regard to the vaccine component of this. Of course, we got the obligatory donuts, free donuts, free Talladega laps, lottery tickets, weed, community college discounts, lotteries, all the normal stuff you do during a pandemic, you know, all the typical stuff, that stuff they did during the Black Plague. Remember when they had the Black Plague, and then every Friday you got to spin the wheel of death and like whatever it landed on was what you got. Remember that? Wasn't that? Oh, they didn't do it. Wait, they didn't do that? I feel like for sure they did that. Like maybe they didn't. We got the Rittenhouse verdict. Let's move on to like true crime, the true crime portion of 2021. We got the Rittenhouse verdict. God, the media is so dishonest. It's funny to watch though. I mean, you know, you can say whatever you want about whether or not Kyle Rittenhouse should have been there with a gun. I think that there's some components of that story that are worth exploring and debating and not, you know, I think he did the right thing for shooting those guys. Cause you know, listen, they were trying to kill him. So it was clear cut self-defense. And of course he shot a couple pedophiles. All the people that he shot were convicts. It was just a weird batch of people. He seemed like a decent kid. He seemed like he was put through hell. And I think he was ultimately there for the right reasons, but he got a taste of what happens when the media views you as a problem and they set their sights on you. Of course, he's going to own CNN when this whole thing is over. I wonder what he would do. What do you think Kyle Rittenhouse will do? Like, how does that work out when he sues them and they lose? I mean, there's nothing left of CNN. Do they just give him the keys and say like, lock it up. Like here's the front door key. And this is the alarm code. Like have fun. Oh, that's crazy. But the media, you know, we got a taste of, they so desperately wanted this to be a racial thing. You saw how the general public was like, this is so terrible, Kyle Rittenhouse and shooting these three black kids and everything. And it's like, what fucking story were you guys watching? I mean, what are you reading? Three black kids? Like everyone in this story was white. Like the only black part of it was that it was a Black Lives Matter riot that was happening. I mean, sorry, mostly peaceful protest that was happening. But other than that, everyone involved in it was white. But then when you would see the outrage, the outrage was he did this to these black people. And it's like, I think that at the bare minimum, before you open your mouth about a case like this or other cases, you should have at least a cursory amount of knowledge of what was really going on. Because if you watch that trial for 10 minutes, you would understand what was happening. If you read anything about it, you would have known that it wasn't a racial situation at all. But the media being the media, they love that. And speaking of trying to make racial situations out of nothing, oh, there's good old Jussie Smollett, or as Dave Chappelle calls him, Jussie Smollier. I think it's better the way Chappelle says it. But old Jussie. Boy, I knew his story was, everyone's like, I knew his story was bullshit from the beginning. You probably did. It was a dumb story. It was easy to call bullshit on it right off the bat. But the way I knew it was bullshit was when they said that, you know, he said, hey, aren't you that F word from Empire? And it's like, so wait a second, two white guys in Chicago wearing MAGA hats at 2 o'clock in the morning, freezing their asses off outside in the snow, walk by you and they recognize you from the show Empire. The show Empire is all black people, right? It's like the story of like a record. It was a series on Fox, and it was like the story of like this record empire mogul and all that, you know, like kind of like Puffy, you know, like Puff Daddy, like coming, you know, making all this money and launching this record label and all the nonsense that comes along with it. But it was primarily a black, like a show with just black people in it. So the idea that a bunch of white guys walking around Chicago with MAGA hats are going to recognize anyone from that show, let alone Jussie Smollett, is just laughable, cartoonish, and ridiculous, which is perfect, you know. Got Don Lemon involved too. When you need to get defended, when your integrity needs to be defended by Don fucking Lemon, just consider your life. Maybe you need to start over. Maybe you need to change your name, move to a foreign country, and start it all over again when Don Lemon is your character witness. We've got, of course, the Cuomo brothers. Since we're talking about true crime, we got to talk about the Cuomo brothers. We've got Andrew Cuomo, who is murdering old people in upstate New York, right, by sticking them all into nursing homes at his order, while he simultaneously makes his interns do all the research for his book, which he wrote and then got like, I don't know, $5-6 million of an advance for it. You know, the Cuomos are a crime family. Mario Cuomo, Andrew, their dad, Mario Cuomo, was the mayor of New York City back in the, I don't know, good 70s, I guess, a while ago, 80s, maybe, I don't know. I don't live in New York, but Mario Cuomo was there. Then you've got the two boys, Andrew, who became New York governor, and while murdering all these old people, as I mentioned, and then Chris Cuomo, who was an anchor on the hit CNN news show, I don't know, CNN news show or whatever. What is? I don't even know the name of Chris Cuomo's show. I'm sure it was something stupid though. But these guys, man, such Goomba cartoon character, wannabe mafioso guys. Oh, Chris Cuomo, hey, I'm going to go get to the bottom of this and find out any of these girls that squealed on my brother, right? I'm going to make them pay for it. I mean, all of this stuff is embarrassing. It's an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment to the Cuomo family. It's an embarrassment to CNN. All these guys just out there pretending that they're, I don't know. Chris Cuomo is the same guy, you know, who went on television and said, you can't look at any of the Julian Assange stuff. If you do, that's illegal. Everything you're going to get, you need to get from us. We're the media. We're allowed to look at it, but you are not. Those sorts of lies, that's straight CNN, you know, propaganda, perfect for CNN, but completely detached from reality. We're staying in, staying in New York, New York City, at least, we've got the Ghislaine Maxwell trial. And that is, as of the recording of this, I think they're wrapping up right now. They're sort of waiting for deliberations. So we'll see how that goes. My prediction is that she won't be found guilty, not because she's not guilty, but because the fix is in on this one. I hope I'm wrong. I don't think I'm going to be wrong, but we'll see how that plays. We don't even have to wait too long for this prediction. I think by the time you are listening to this, you'll know whether or not I'm right or wrong on this situation. But it is my belief that judge is no good, that the prosecutor, who's James Comey's daughter, is no good, that the judge took that promotion to become the judge of this in exchange for, you know, quid pro quo or quid pro Joe, in a sense of Joe Biden was the one that put her in this position. You know, when she's not breathlessly romanticizing the genius of Alan Dershowitz, she's talking about how much she loves her synagogue, giving winks to the Maxwell sisters and their long line of spying for Israel. And I just have bad feelings about all of this. And I think that it's not going to be good, not for justice or anything. We have the Derek Chauvin verdict that came out. And that one's how I feel about cops. Don't love them. Don't support the police. But I think that there was a lot to this story that was going on behind the scenes, obviously politicized. Derek Chauvin's going to have his dance card filled in prison. That is for sure. And, you know, not my problem. Julian Assange. Well, the Julian Assange case, where we left things here in 2021 was with the American government appealing the decision by the British court to deny him to be extradited to the United States. The American component of this, they They asked for an appeal. They won their appeal. So now Julian Assange is scheduled to be sent to America, where he will be executed. I mean, maybe not officially executed, but he will be murdered by the American government because he embarrassed them with his collateral murder video release, which submarined any support for ongoing wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, although they continued for another decade. And he is being punished for having the audacity to print the truth about what the American Empire is up to with all of their endeavors around the world. So 2021, we got to experience the joys of supply chain disruptions. And you thought it was just toilet paper in 2020, right? You thought that was enough to enrage people, to turn every day into Black Friday, where you're stabbing old people just so that you can get to the front of the line, get that 4-pack of Charmin. Well, now we have to deal with it with regard to ports of entry in Long Beach and Los Angeles. We've got rail situations, we've got truck situations, we've got trucks not being allowed to get into California because of the woke policies enacted by Gavin Newsom and backed up by Joe Biden, that said that trucks that are built before 2010 can't operate in California, so they're unable to go to the ports and do. I mean, we've done several episodes on this. It's so frustrating because it's totally preventable. Completely and utterly preventable, and yet it's happening. It's happening by design. It's happening as part of this strategy of tension that the Biden administration is putting on America to create just more chaos and more stress, to break people, to force people to submit to whatever the government wants them to do, be that just stay in their homes or take a shot or not go to work or wear a mask or whatever it is. They can convince you to do things that are against your best interest if they just stress you out long enough and create inconveniences in your lives to the point where you throw your hands up and say, just make it stop. Tell me what you want me to do and I'll stop. So the psychological torture that the Biden administration and the Trump administration, to be fair, for 2020, when he was in there, he was going along with this plan. So let's not pretend that he's some savior. He's still the largest vaccine pusher out there. He's just doing it from the private sector these days. So we got to live through some of the first repercussions of what we saw happen in 2020, which was the hyperinflating of the currency by printing 40% of all new out of all dollars in existence. Out of all dollars in existence at this moment, right now, 40% of them were printed just in the year 2020. So that is a recipe for inflation, hyperinflation, however you want to call it. They like to call it transitory inflation, which means that it's just inflation that's passing by like a hitchhiker, right? But it's not going to stick around and stay. Well, it's staying. It's most definitely going to be staying. There's no, there's nothing transitory about this. It says the inflation being transitory is about as realistic as stupidity being transitory in the Biden administration. No, that's here to stay as well. So, And as a result, so every action has an equal and opposite reaction. So what is the reaction to printing all of the all these U.S. dollars? Well, a lot of that money that was printed flowed into Bitcoin, in, you know, Bitcoin or crypto in general. So you see the rise of Bitcoin towards the tail end of 2020 and in continuing a little bit of a rocky ride in 2021, but definitely headed on the upturn. Crypto in general getting normalized, you know, becoming a little bit more part of the normal everyday lexicon. You're starting to see it on CNBC. They're putting price of Bitcoin up there much in the way they have a ticker that shows gold and silver prices, things like that. We saw El Salvador take the extraordinary step of making Bitcoin their official currency. We see the El Zante, the Bitcoin beach being created down there. Guys can can take a look. They're not a sponsor of the show or anything, but I've had Mike Cobb from ECI Development on, and they are starting a project in El Salvador as well. So if people are interested, you can find out information about what they have going on. They take crypto for all of the homes that they're selling, not just in El Salvador, but also in Belize and Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Panama, and soon to be Mexico. So you can go to ecidevelopment.com or I'll put a link to it in the description as well. So you can check that out. We had remember the boat stuck in the Suez Canal? We were like, oh, holy shit. This dummy drove the boat in and got it stuck. I still don't know if that was intentional. I wouldn't be surprised, you know? I wouldn't be surprised at all. I think the guy was like, I saw the satellite imaging of the boat. I think it was after they got it out of the Suez, where they were waiting. They told it to stay in this area and wait. And if you look at the satellite images of it, it's just out there drawing dicks. You know, have you ever seen like airplanes do that, where they fly in a particular pattern? And when you look at like the equivalent of like airplane GPS, I'm not sure exactly what you would call it. It would show that, you know, like guys were drawing like dicks and things like that in the air. So the boat was doing that as well, which I find to be kind of strikingly perfect for what we're experiencing. We saw the net worth of Elon Musk skyrocket, and then the space race between all the billionaires, Branson and Bezos and Elon Musk, which one of us is going to get to Mars first? Listen, stop doing this. Stop pretending that you're going anywhere off planet with chemical rockets. It's embarrassing. Okay. We all know that that's not going to be happening. Chemical rockets are not the answer. You guys are all very smart. I mean, you billionaire guys, Bezos and Musk and Branson, you know this. You know this. There's different kinds of technology that's needed for that. More than likely, Lockheed Martin Skunk Works has it. And we probably have been using it for 4 or 5 decades. But stop telling me that you're going to Mars with chemical rockets. It's just the non-starter, and everybody knows that. We also saw a lot of CEOs stepping down. Gee, I wonder, was there some sort of unusual trial happening in New York City that might have caused some of these CEOs to get a little uncomfortable with being in the public eye? Well, maybe. You know, maybe that's the reason for some of them leaving. Definitely could be. I think it's also probable that a lot of these CEOs, especially ones that have been there for a long time, have made a fortune. You know, how enthusiastic are you going to be to stick around through all of this bad time? I mean, you know that everything is going to get increasingly more difficult in 2022. We just did an episode on that, you know, kind of predicting what's coming. And to be fair, you know, I'm not Nostradamus. You don't really have to be. You can extrapolate out based on what you've seen, where things are headed, and what you speculate they might do. But everything is getting more difficult. I think we're all in agreement of that. Nothing from a business standpoint is going to get easier. So if you're the CEO of United Airlines and you have the ability to walk away this year, well, maybe you do. You know, maybe you do. So we saw a lot of CEOs, high-level people pack up shop. We saw a bunch of them leave because they were in Epstein's black book, and we started talking about them again. Leon Black from Apollo Management, you know, guys like that. Jeff Staley from Barclays and all these bankers that just happened to show up in Epstein's book and on the island over and over again. They decided, well, maybe I don't want to stick around and have to answer all these questions. So 2021 saw, well, let's see. Let's talk about social issues. Let's talk about what we saw there. We definitely saw the pronoun people. They were out in force and being their ridiculous selves and doing all of that. We saw Astroworld, the Travis Scott version of like the rap Lollapalooza, where 10 people died and they might or might not have been at some form of satanic ritual. There was a lot of weirdness going on with that. You know, I don't think you make it to, let me say it differently. not everybody that makes it in Hollywood makes it of their own accord, skills, talents, and things like that. Sometimes people make it because they're willing to serve an agenda. And considering the state of music these days, I think it is very fair to say that a lot of people aren't making it based on their talent, because I don't see a ton of talent out there. I see a bunch of mumble rappers and island boys that are talking about how they sold their soul and they don't feel too good about it. And holy shit, what have I done? Yeah. Welcome to Hollywood. Get your knees dirty. So we saw the metaverse come into the lexicon. Well, we all knew about Oculus. We knew that Facebook bought Oculus a couple years ago for, I think, about $2 billion. They had big plans for it. Virtual reality headsets. Nothing inherently new about that. That's not different. But I think the push to normalize this, to create a situation where you view those VR goggles as an extension of the internet, like the way we come home and we get on our computers and we have to check emails and we check our online banking, or we maybe go on social media. I think it's reasonable to assume that we're going to get to a point where people come home and put the goggles on and then go do those things. Or maybe they say, well, I've had I just worked all day at my job. And then I come home and I'm going to relax at my job that I hate, with employees, coworkers that I hate. I come home to my studio apartment. I don't have anyone in my life. Nobody, really have any friends. I put the goggles on and then I can be someone else, and I can live in that world. And that's a more appealing world. So the rise of the metaverse is a real interesting topic. I'm going to be doing a lot more work on that in 2022, because I think that the social, societal implications of this are deeply troubling. I think that psychologists are going to have a whole new segment of business, which is getting people detoxing from digital devices. I think they're already doing that now, but the metaverse component to it is going to be, it's going to be everywhere, and it's going to be really damaging, especially to developing minds and to people that make a calculation that maybe living in this virtual reality is better than the current reality. My current reality sucks. This virtual reality, at least I get to have a chance, or at least I get to start over or whatever. But don't worry, there's already some lady claiming that she's been groped in the metaverse. So get used to that. I mean, I hope you're probably going to have to take your vaccines and booster shots in the metaverse. You don't want to get anybody infected with your dirtiness. I wonder if it'll be McAfee. Will it be McAfee virus, like McAfee vaccines? Is that what it is? I don't know. It's all too much for me. 2021 is the year that UFOs went mainstream, thanks to Me Too Lou Elizondo. These con artists, scammer, grifters over at TTSA, To the Stars Academy. This is a CIA operation. When you have 100 years of CIA experience sitting on your board of directors, that is what is known as automatic disqualification for discussing anything UFO related with any sort of honesty, because these people are not in the business of being honest. They're in the business of deception. And so when the Lou Elizondo, the reason why we, Me Too Lou is not my name for him. It's Daniel List from Dark Journalist, joking name for him, because Lou came out and said, well, the CIA is attacking me for spilling all this information. Like, he's a victim. You know, he came out and said, like, me, like Me Too, which is laughable, because he's working for the CIA. You know, he says, well, I left the CIA. Sure you did. Right. Okay. And this is a sheep dipping situation. So you've got the CIA guys are coming out and they're going to tell you all about the UFO situation. Guys, I swear, guys, why don't you believe me? Why don't you believe me that the CIA guys are going to give you all the information about disclosure? You don't think so? You don't think so? It's not happening. is there, here's the question. Here's the question for 2022. Is there a bigger biatch than Prince Harry? Yes or no? I don't know. I've been a bit embarrassed by this guy. I mean, he is, I'll give him a little bit of a pat. How weird is your life slated to be when you grow up in that royal family? When your, in his case, dad isn't really Prince Charles. We know that Prince Charles, I mean, just look at Harry. He's a ginger, for God's sake. He didn't look anything like these people. But you're born into this insane family of lizard people and pedophiles. I'm not slandering anybody. They're pedophiles. They're all known to be pedophiles. So it's just the truth. You're born into this situation. You've got Lord Mountbatten. You've got Prince Charles, your so-called dad, bringing in, you know, having your mom whacked. But prior to that, bringing in marriage counselors to help get a handle on the situation, and the marriage counselors, Jimmy Savile. You know, you're going to have a weird life. But I don't give him a pass on this, because he could have chosen to do something a little bit different. He's pretending to break away from the family, but breaking away from the family to go do Netflix deals with Oprah, that doesn't absolve you of your sins. That puts you right back into this whole cabal. So I'm not buying the Prince Harry stuff. Nobody is watching the Oscars or the Golden Globes or a lot of sports leagues or the movies that have incorporated this social justice message and the woke components to it. They are getting pummeled in the ratings at the box office, where it counts, where there's money to be made. They're not making it. And that is because people are done. They're tired of this stuff. Nobody has an interest in the woke agenda. It's utterly transparent and cartoonish. And if you are a business that's trying to wrap yourself in this woke diversity because you think it's going to send the message to your potential customers that you're on the right side of humanity, well, you've made a serious miscalculation, and you will need to pay the price for that as people visit your competitors instead of you, or they watch different shows instead of the shows that you're making, or they turn the television off completely. Because I shouldn't say nobody, because there is a segment of the population that is eating this stuff up. But the people that have brains that work are looking at this and going, this seems very disingenuous to me. Now, I'm all for treating people well, treating people that deserve to be treated well, I should say. I'm not here to just like be a bully and make fun of people for no reason. I'm not here to make fun of people that have done nothing to you and can't defend themselves. I'm not looking to take shots at the powerless. That's not what this is about. This is about remaking society. This is about turning words against one another, making some words disappear from the lexicon altogether, changing the definition of words. This is a cultural subversion. We've done plenty of shows on this. It's part of the strategy. There's a play-by-play book on how to destroy the fabric of society. And this is part of it, this woke agenda. So people are rejecting it. People are seeing it rightly for what it is. Mr. Potato Head is a victim of this. Dr. Seuss is a victim of this. J.K. Rowling is a victim of this. I mean, you can't say anything these days without pissing off a section of the population, which used to not be a big deal. But now that percentage of the population, that woke part that feels marginalized and bullied, this is all in their head, of course, but they want you to comply or die. It's not enough to say sorry. In fact, don't ever say sorry. Please understand this. Don't ever bow to these people. It's never enough. And if you want proof of that, just go look at what they did to Jordan Peterson this year. with regard to his vaccination status. They basically bullied him into taking the vaccine, which I'm going to put as much blame on that on Jordan Peterson as I am on the woke mob, but because nobody should be able to bully you into taking a medical injection. Ultimately, that's your decision. But I understand where he's coming from and what he said. So he said that, you know, he basically bowed to them and they demanded more. And it's like, yeah, for all the advice and all the good advice and all of the ideas and concepts that Jordan Peterson kicks around in his head and talks about with students and audiences everywhere, he hasn't figured it all out, because my dumbass could have told him, don't ever bow to the woke mob. There's no finish line. In fact, once they see any sign of weakness, they just continue like piranhas until they destroy you. And then when they're done destroying you, they turn on each other. So these are not people that can be reasoned with. These are not people that are builders. These are destroyers. Don't reason or don't try to negotiate with terrorists, so to speak. And I'll take this a step further, not just Jordan Peterson. Joe Rogan, who has had plenty of great conversations with Jordan Peterson, he knew it was going to happen. He knew what was happening when he filmed the video after he got said, you know, guys, I got COVID. It hit me pretty hard for the first day. Then I did these other things. And then predictably, the media did their song and dance, which is taking the video, putting a color filter on it to make him look more sick. You know, they're just so fucking dishonest about everything. They can't do anything without, they don't have good points, so they have to be dishonest and try to destroy, I guess. But when you do something like put a filter over the Joe Rogan video so that you can make him look less healthy, and it gets out and gets discovered, and then they do the side-by-side thing, you know, you're only proving that you are a clown world organization to do stuff like that. But Rogan knew he was going to face it. He knew he was going to face the pro-vaccine group that you know, the only way you can get out of this is to inject your way out of it. And anything short of that is horse paste. And we watched what Rolling Stone did. They're garbage hit piece. You'd think they would learn after the Duke lacrosse rape story that they got massively wrong and got sued into oblivion for that. But no, they don't. They never learn because it's not about learning. It's about destroying. So they come out and do the same thing to Rogan, talk about horse paste. Saturday Night Live comes out, does the same thing. Look, nobody cares. Nobody cares what the left thinks about this stuff. They're cartoonish people. They're not serious about this. And when you expose these tactics and you hold them up for everyone to see, it sends a message that they must not be coming from a position of strength in their argument when they have to lie and deceive in order to get people to feel the same way they feel about it. So that's... you know, that's sort of a encapsulation of 2021 with regard to the Rogan, Jordan Peterson woke side of things, but it's by no means limited to the year 2021, because we're going to continue to see that in 2022 and beyond. It'll have less effect, of course, because the more you try to run this play and people see it for what it is, the less impact it'll have moving forward. But like anything, they're just going to keep running the same move over and over again until nobody pays attention to it. No, until nobody pays attention to it, like the 2021 Olympics. Which should have been the 2020 Olympics, but then they moved them an entire year. They put them into the summer of 2021 while having all the same logos of 2020, which made it extra confusing and definitely weird, like you were living in some sort of dystopian novel or something, and then proceeded to watch the ratings fall off a cliff. Nobody was allowed to go see them. Nobody cared. The only interesting part of the 2020/2021 Olympics was when Snoop Dogg did the commentary on what he called horse crip walking. which was fucking hysterical, man. He was really baked, of course, and he was on with Kevin Hart, and it was the like dressage portion of the horse show. So they've got these fancy horses and they're kind of skipping and moving like kind of sideways and everything. And Snoop took one look at that and he was like, oh shit, that's crip walking, you know, it's horse crip walking, and went off on it. And that was the best part of the Olympics. Now, when the best part of your $20 billion Olympics is the stoner rapper calling your horse event, making fun of it and naming it after Bishop Don Magic Juan and his pimp walk, you have got to go back to the drawing boards. But don't worry, we've got more to look forward to in 2022 when China hosts the Winter Olympics and all of the fuckery that will be going on with that. I'm watching it. I'm telling you why. Not for any sort of sports component to it, though I'm massively interested in just about all sports except for the Olympics. I'm going to be watching it because you already get opening ceremony propaganda with the Olympics. Can you imagine what the Chinese version of propaganda at the Winter Olympics is going to be? Holy shit. I can't wait. So I'll definitely be tuning in for that. Not because I think that we're going to see some amazing athletic achievement in the art of curling, which is, I don't know, not a sport, I guess. Bowling, but for people that are drunk ice fishing. I don't know how you would define it, but it is most definitely not a sport, and I'm there for every bit of it. We did see 2021 was the year of whistleblowers. I think it's fair to say. Not the actual whistleblowers, like Julian Assange, who's still rotting away in Belmarsh before he's extradited to the United States, where he's going to be taken to Guantanamo Bay. I mean, ADX Florence. No. It was the year of Facebook whistleblowers. Remember Frances Haugen, that whatever she was, made for TV whistleblower who came out and said, it's with regard to Facebook. You should definitely throw Facebook in the briar patch. You should definitely regulate all of these social media companies out there and then throw Facebook in the briar patch as you check the revolving door between Facebook and the Obama administration's White House. And you see that there's at least 20 people that worked in the Obama White House that now have high ranking positions at Facebook, but yet Facebook wants you to come in and regulate them. Okay, I've seen this play before. Don't break us up. Don't break up Standard Oil into all of these other oil companies. Whatever you do, Facebook, Meta, whatever. So, we've got the year of the Facebook fake whistleblower. But then we also have the very real whistleblowers, right? The Project Veritas hidden cameras. These people rig themselves up with cameras and microphones and then go undercover at like happy hour after work and get a lot of coworkers on camera talking about the things that coworkers talk about during happy hour, which is the shitty things that their bosses are doing to them, the fraud that's being committed, all the stuff that, you know, they're not too upset about to quit over, but just frustrated enough to have an axe to grind. So they come out and they start talking and they talk about what their plans are. They talk about that, as far as CNN, that producer goes, we're really kind of pivoting to climate change now, away from the Biden stuff. So you see how the sausage is made in these media factories. You see the sorts of things that they're told to focus on, the other topics that they're told to most definitely not talk about. So the CNN whistleblower that went through Project Veritas, we had the Twitter whistleblower, we had the Facebook whistleblower, and the Pfizer one as well. So big tech, and big pharma colluding against you with the government, well, you're going to have some people in those organizations that are good guys that didn't sign up for that, that said, listen, I took a job at this company because I thought they were on the right side of humanity, or I needed the money, or I'm really good at what I do and they offered me a great package, but I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up to be part of coercing kids into taking medical experiments, or I didn't sign up for us to subvert free speech or to demonize and demonetize and disappear digitally dissenting voices that the management of these big tech companies disagree with. I didn't sign up for that. And so because I didn't, I'm angry and I'm going to sort of blow the whistle on that. We saw a lot of that. I think we'll see more. I hope we see more authentic ones, not the Facebook bullshit one, but that's what we saw. We saw the war in Afghanistan come to an official end, though. Let's not pretend that they didn't just privatize it and move the cameras away and take down all the sets. There's definitely still activity happening in Afghanistan. There always will be. It is what Zbigniew Brzezinski mentioned in his book, The Grand Chessboard. It is the focal point. It is Eurasia, that intersection between Europe, Asia, and the Middle East happens right there in that Central Asia region of Afghanistan. It's the reason why so many empires have fought battles there. It is nicknamed the graveyard of empires. You can go back and listen to an episode I did a couple months ago, I think in September of 2021 with Scott Horton, called the episode's called Graveyard of Empires. You can check that out and get more into a deep dive on that. But we saw what happened with the pullout out of Afghanistan, that the Biden administration botched that in a way that is, oh, I mean, it would be funny if it wasn't so goddamn serious and dangerous about what they did. It literally cost people their lives. There were bombs going off. The whole thing was botched. They left $85 billion worth of gear behind, which I am fully convinced was not accidental, that they were using that to arm terrorist groups, because that's what we do. We arm terrorist groups and we pretend to fight them and then say, hey, look at all this. Look at all this terrorism that's happening there. Now we have to get involved in a much bigger way. And then we get involved and we start controlling the region. So we saw officially the end of Afghanistan in 2021. We'll see some new ones. Some new war will spring up somewhere else. The Afghanistans or Vietnams of the world, they're always there. They're not going anywhere. Expect American foreign policy to continue its murderous rampage across the globe, because that's what we do. I think an equally, so we're just talking about the Facebook whistleblower, but I think an equally dangerous component to this is the rise of Meta, the metaverse, and what Facebook is doing. Like I said, I'm going to get into more of a deep dive with that, not just on this show, but in our Union of the Unwanted shows. I think we're going to bring some guests on that can help us get involved in or help us to understand sort of the unintended consequences of moving to this digital age. And some good things, some good components, to be fair, will come of it, and also some bad ones as well. But we'll wrap up on this, because I think it is, I think if we could, if we could summarize 2021 in just sort of one message here, I think it would be the fact that after an entire, second half of 2020, where buildings were on fire, where bricks were being thrown through, where everyone was looting and destroying things while they were talking about mostly peaceful protests, I will have you know that BLM, Black Lives Matter, registered trademark, the official corporation, was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. Isn't that great? Isn't that perfect? It just seems almost fitting, you know, for them to win it. Hopefully they'll win it. I don't know if I guess maybe they haven't made the selection for it. Maybe they already made the selection for it and BLM was just left as a nominee. Well, should have drone striked a little bit more like your friend Obama did. That way he knew how to get the the Henry Kissinger Nobel Peace Prize Award. You got to bomb the shit out of people. BLM, got to up your game next time. Well, that's it. That's the wrap up for 2021. Again, not meant to be an exhausted list. There's plenty of other things that happened there, but we got to keep this to, you know, a little like an hour or so. So we'll wrap it up there. You guys are the best. I appreciate all of you. I appreciate the messages that I get from you. I tell guests when I'm talking to them about coming on the show, I explain to them that I have a very smart audience. And that's true. I'm not buttering you up. It is true. I get the emails. I say that to these potential guests because I want them to know that they don't have to start at square one, that we can handle complex topics, that they don't have to dumb it down for the audience. This audience can handle it. So I appreciate you. I hope that we're going to do some great things in 2022. I certainly am planning on it. Hopefully we'll have you around. If you like the show, share it with your friends, family, and coworkers. It's the way the show grows. The website is theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can follow me on Twitter @macroaggressions, and I will talk to you all soon.